Progressive presents Flo's newest smash hit. The Name Your Price tool gives you lots of coverage options.
The Name Your Price tool. You give us a budget and we'll show you a range of coverage options. But we can't go over all the dessert options. Your server will be back in just a second and he'll explain.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As long as the kids keep making the traveling team and the new restaurant across town doesn't deliver, you're going to be driving. So it's a smart choice to join new BP Driver Rewards. You receive an instant 10 cents per gallon reward just for signing up. With every second fill up of quality BP gasoline, you keep earning and saving 5 cents per gallon. Pick up a BP Driver Rewards brochure at your local BP to join now. Up to 20 gallons, terms and conditions apply. See bpdriverrewards.com for
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show, a Wednesday edition here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, as we continue our coverage from the Omaha Country Club side of the 34th annual United States Senior Open, which tees off tomorrow morning. And I'll tell you what, totally different feel out here today. In fact, the board members of the USGA have just started a press conference. We may catch some thoughts from them here in just a moment. Randy Bushcutter back at our studio in Kearney, co-hosting today. Our 12 teams in 12 days continue with Michigan, and our buddy Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press. We'll ask him about the Michigan Wolverines, who many believe obviously will be the biggest roadblock for Nebraska, returning to the Big Ten Championship game with that game in Ann Arbor this fall. So we'll talk 12 teams in 12 days. We'll also get a little thought on the Lions and his Detroit Tigers, the Kansas City Royals. Unbelievably, Randy, I know the Reds are your team, but the Royals, after that 4-17 swoon earlier this season, good start, then hit that swoon. They're one game below 500, and they're actually going to be still in the conversation of the American League Central after the All-Star break.
Well, you know, we talked about that when they were kind of at the end of that swoon, that, you know, they get hot, they can get right back where they want to around the 500 mark. You're 500 at the All-Star break. You're in both races. You're in the race for the wild card. You're in the race for winning the division. I mean, you can strike it from there if you get to 500 or near 500. They've done a great job of getting back into contention, and they're a good young team. They're going to have their dips. They're going to have their valleys, but they've got a lot of potential because, boy, that reliever. I mean, if they have a lead heading into the ninth inning, they're gonna shut her down. And their pitching has been solid all year. They do a lot of the things that you need to do to be a championship ball club. And there just really isn't anybody in their division that's, I think, going to run away and hide from anybody.
And the Royals are in the right division because they took their second in a row from the New York Yankees last night, which is always great to talk about. The Royals are 43-44. They're five back in the Central. Cleveland's 2.5 back of Detroit. The Yankees are 48-42, and they're in fourth place in the East, six back of the Boston Red Sox. So it just kind of depends on where you're at right now. The Royals are in the right division. If they were in the West, they'd be 8.5 back of Oakland. And if they were in the American League East, they'd be about 9 back of Boston. But instead, they're only 5 back of Detroit, with Cleveland kind of in between. They've been the surprise story so far this year. The Indians, a lot of people thought maybe it would be Detroit, Kansas City. Right now, it's Detroit, Cleveland.
a lot of times you look at how many losses you have, how much do you trail in the loss column, because you can't get those back. They're only four games behind in the loss column. So, you know, with about 80 games left to play, you've got to make up four of those, and that you don't have to ramp it up very much at all to catch Detroit and have a real good shot at it.
The only other division that doesn't have a runaway leader is the National League West, where 44 and 45 for the Dodgers puts them just 2.5 behind Arizona. Your Reds are also 5 back in the Central, but they are 50 and 40. They're 5 back to St. Louis. Pittsburgh is 1.5 back as we get ready for the All-Star game on Tuesday. And in the NL East, Atlanta has a 6-game lead over Washington, who's actually playing some better baseball of late.
And again, there's so much time left. I mean, we mentioned it earlier that I'm a big Reds fan. Three of the best four records in the National League are all in the Central Division. And you look at Pittsburgh, maybe they're already starting that swoon because, you know, they were in first place, had a little bit of a lead. Now they're a game and a half behind the Cardinals. But picking up wins, and the Cubs are playing better. So there's just a lot more baseball left. And like I say, if you're not at 500 or above 500, you can't talk playoffs. But the Royals are getting to that point where they can start talking about the playoffs. They can get there. A lot more season to go here. We don't even have the All-Star break just yet. And you get hot at the right time, and we've seen that through the course of things here in the last few years, where wild cards won more World Series than the team with the best record in baseball. If you're hot at the end of the season with those extra wild cards in there, you can get in, you can run the table, and you can crown yourself world champion.
That is definitely the case, and it's starting to be that way in most sports, not maybe basketball, but football. The NFL has definitely been that way. Major League Baseball has been that way, and we're starting to see that. You know, even in college football, you obviously can get away with that early loss, and if you're the hot team at the end of the year, you've got a chance to be there. Also on our show today, Colin Montgomery stopped by yesterday. We got a chance to hear from him. We'll hear some of his comments playing in just his second senior tour major here at the Omaha Country Club. And I'll tell you what, Randy, it's just a totally different feel here today. Monday, folks were out and enjoying it. Great Monday crowd yesterday, just incredibly hot. Just an unbelievable, and not only the fans talking about it, but it did affect golfers. They didn't maybe play all 18 like they'd wanted to. Maybe they picked and choose some of the holes. But even before noon yesterday, it was starting to affect some of the golfers. Tomorrow should be nice, kind of like today. Yesterday, I think, was supposed to be the worst day of the week. So if the humidity stays away and the temperatures in the upper 80s to right around 91, I think everybody will be able to make it through this hilly course here at the Omaha Country Club.
I have been absolutely amazed at the number of people that I have talked to in the last couple of weeks, and it ramped up a lot late last week, that say, yeah, we're going to Omaha, we're going to go and we're going to watch the Open. How are the crowds? I mean, I want to ask you, A, how are the crowds? Have you kind of noticed a Central Nebraska contingent there? And what kind of access do they have to these players?
Oh, definitely have seen the crowds. They're great. Everybody's talking about how great they are for practice rounds specifically. And then, of course, you also see a lot of folks from our listening area, and the access has been incredible. You know, the every time somebody like a Tom Watson or a Fred Funk or a Fred Couples goes someplace, the demands on their time are huge. But they take some time, and I think Tom Watson, Fred Couples, they are the two most popular people here. Everybody's here. Everybody's out on the course. Fred Couples was hitting balls on the practice range at 6:30 last night. There was hardly anybody left here except the crew that works the golf tournament, the media, and just a handful of golfers. I'd say he was one of the final 10 guys here yesterday and was still hitting balls on the range late last night. And again, everybody just in awe, and that's the cool thing, Randy. There has not been a competition ever in the state of Nebraska like this, ever, 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 ever. And I think people don't necessarily quite catch that. Ever, ever. Biggest golf tournament that's ever been in the state of Nebraska, and just to watch these guys strike the ball and then watch them to go to the putting green and do the exercises that you see them talk about on the Golf Channel, talk about in Golf Digest, that if you have the time, you should do to get better. They're out here doing it.
That's just so neat. I remember, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago when there was that second level of tour stop that was at Dakota Dunes up in South Dakota. And they were saying how that was, that was the biggest golf event that ever happened in Nebraska at that time when that happened about 15 years ago. And now to have Omaha, to have the state of Nebraska kind of be on the map as it is at the Senior Open. And me, I'll be honest with you, I almost like the Senior Open more than I like the regular U.S. Open because those are the guys that kind of learn the game of golf watching. You know, I mean, that's kind of that great connection. It is a great event for the state to kind of have that. And then, obviously, it would be huge if sometime down the road, Omaha, somewhere in Nebraska, could host a U.S. Open. But this is probably as close to that kind of event, maybe the PGA, that you'll ever get. And I think Omaha's been doing such a great job, A, covering it, showing interest in it, and hosting this event, that they're beginning to make themselves a nice little name in golf. And to me, that's amazing when 15 years ago, when South Dakota had a second-level tour event going on, that was a big deal. And to have this is huge for the state.
Well, it sure is. And, folks, we'd love your thoughts on our Dent Popper inbox. You can email us anytime, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. You can give us a call on the Bruce Furniture fan line, 888-455-ESPN. That's 888-455-3776. And, of course, you can always find us on Facebook at ESPN Superstation. John and Carney is off to the Dent Popper inbox here. He says, Doug, quick question. Why would baseball say it's okay to suspend some players, but not till after the All-Star game because of image? Isn't that an image problem, since they should suspend them to send a message that this is wrong to use performance-enhancing drugs? Not a good message to send to the younger age groups. And your thoughts from John and Carney. I don't know what the All-Star game has to do with anything. If a guy is guilty, he's guilty, right? You sentence him, Randy, don't you?
And I think you do it as soon as you determine that they're guilty. I think that waiting until – it's like, yeah, I'm going to wait till he drives home before I write him the speeding ticket. You know, I don't want to bother him on the interstate or the highway. I'll wait till he gets home. To me, that it just doesn't make sense. When you catch somebody doing wrong with their hand in the cookie jar, that's when you step up. Now, if you're taking time to build your case and you want to make sure you have the evidence, that's one thing. But I don't think that's what baseball's doing here. I'm with you. And to me, if they're going to suspend, let's say, a Ryan Braun, and he was going to go to the All-Star game, if you're going to suspend one of these guys, I think you do it before the All-Star game. I think you do it, make that game cleaner, and just say we're taking it serious. Talk about during the All-Star break and be done with it. Because now you're still going to have that conversation. And I think the longer you wait, the more you let it fester.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And baseball seems like it's in a good place right now, and I'm sure they don't want to do it again. But what are you going to do? It is what it is. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Your thoughts, and that's also our Midtown Mart poll question of the day. You can vote on this at ESPNSuperstation.com. Simply put, do you care if players use performance-enhancing drugs? Do you care if players use performance-enhancing drugs? My answer to that is yes, I care, but I just don't want to hear about it. And I think that's kind of the thought I hear from a lot of folks, Randy, after we've went through all of this. I had kind of hoped, and that was my push there with baseball, saying, you know what, if you're guilty, fine. We are wiping the slate clean as of 2011. Anything after, harsh penalties, and they are putting out the 50 and 100 game suspensions. And you get caught, you have to pay the bill now. We have already wiped the slate clean. Major League Baseball basically did that. They have wiped the slate clean, and if you're guilty after a certain date, you're no longer grandfathered in.
I agree. If you're going to clean it up, you clean it up. You don't do it halfway. You don't have mixed messages. You don't muddy the water. We catch you. We're going to suspend you for half a season the first time. We're going to suspend you for a full season the second time. And three strikes or you're out. I think I read that in some sport somewhere. And what you do, you got to clean up the game. If you're going to outlaw them. Don't do it halfway. Don't be bad about how you're doing that. If you're going to outlaw them, test, look. Let's just say if you're the leading RBI guy on your team, you get an automatic test. If you have the best hitting average on your team, you're going to get an automatic test. If you're the leading strikeout pitcher on your team, you're going to get an automatic test, and we're going to random test everybody else. Yeah, if you did that, if people knew they were going to get tested, my best guess is they wouldn't want to use those drugs if they knew they were going to get tested if they were successful.
And we don't want any performance-enhancing drugs in the annual Doug and Daddy hot dog eating contest. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, the results of yesterday's Midtown Mark poll question. Who has the best wide receiver tandem in the NFL now that Victor Cruz has signed on again with the Giants? We had the Falcons, the Broncos, the Giants, and the Cowboys up for the best wide receiver tandem. And I'm a little surprised. I voted for the Falcons, and that is who the majority of the fans voted for, with Jones and White, Julio Jones and Roddy White, 50% there. 40% went with the Broncos, with Wes Welker and Demaryius Thomas. And for the Giants, they just got 10% with Cruz and Nix. You got any vote there, Randy?
No Dolphin. You know, Mike Wallace signed with the Dolphins. You know, of the options you have there, I think probably you got that possession receiver in Welker. I think I probably would give the Broncos the edge on that one. And then being facetious about the Mike Wallace thing there.
Yes, the Midtown Mark Cooler question. You can vote on that at any time at ESPNSuperstation.com. And again, don't forget to get signed up, because Friday, it's there. Randy and everybody are going to be up at the Hilltop Mall with the annual Doug and Daddy hot dog eating contest. It's been fun every single year. Troutman's Quality Meats gives you the bigger hot dog. You're not going to eat 69 like Joey Chestnut. You're going to get 30 minutes to sit down, enjoy as many hot dogs. We've got great prizes for everyone and really cool prizes for the overall winner of the Doug and Daddy hot dog contest. 11 o'clock at the start of our Doug and Daddy show Friday from the Hilltop Mall in Kearney.
So what exactly would be the performance-enhancing drugs that you would take for that? I'm not sure I want to know what you have to do to your system to be able to have that be a performance-enhancing drug.
Yeah, that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
You know what? People are trying to eat right now. Maybe we don't want to have a real deep discussion about what performance-enhancing drugs for an eating contest would be.
Folks, I want to hear a few comments here from the senior director of the United States Senior Open, and that's Tim Flaherty. He is speaking right now at the podium. Let's hear what he has to say here from the U.S. Senior Open.
Really, what we want to emphasize is that there's no parking around the golf course. There's no parking near Omaha Country Club. There's all the public parking is only about 2 or 3 miles away at the North Omaha Airport, which is convenient to 680 Loop. And it's right down there. The buses get you here in about 5 minutes. To date, that system has been working without a hitch. So I urge everybody not to come to the golf course, but go to that parking lot, and we'll get you in and out of here pretty quickly. You know, I just want to thank some people. Those types of things, shutting down roads, shutting down neighborhoods, it takes the cooperation of a lot of people. The city of Omaha has been a tremendous partner from the start.
Okay, well, that's pretty boring right there, isn't it, guys? So let's take a break here. We'll have more from the annual United States seat. We'll hear from Colin Montgomery, Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press to preview the Michigan Wolverines, 12 teams in 12 days. It's all coming up here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
My name is Megan. The day that I decided to go into Complete Nutrition, I literally circled the store 6 or 7 times to get up the courage to go in. When you're overweight, you have to be like, hi, I need help. Please don't judge me. I walked in and this smiling face was there, and he was ready to help and wanted to know about me and my goals and who I am as a person. From that point on, Complete Nutrition changed my life.
Whether you want to lose weight, gain muscle, or maintain a healthy lifestyle, Complete Nutrition has the products, supplements, and support you need. Our certified trainers and nutrition experts will partner with you every step of the way to help achieve your goals. Stop into a store today and receive a free multivitamin. No purchase necessary.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition.
Look, the worst part about business travel is worrying about my wife and kids at home alone. My family's safety is my responsibility. That's why I started researching home security. I called the big alarm companies, checked online, even looked at doing it myself. But the best technology for the best price came from Vivint. They even won the Consumer's Digest Best Buy Award. Yes, Vivint gives me a complete security system, but it does even more. Vivint's video technology is unreal. I can see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I can even lock the doors remotely if my kids forget. Best yet, I got Vivint's no equipment costs and free install deal. $1,200 worth of camera and security equipment at no charge. Vivint was the easy choice for my family's safety.
Take control of your family's safety with Vivint. Order now for up to $1,200 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Plus, call now and installation is free. Call 1-800-789-6505. That's 1-800-789-6505. 1-800-789-6505.
Your thoughts, 888-455-ESPN.
Osborne Bent couldn't win the big one for a while, but if we're giving up 65 points, we're not ever going to play in the big one.
You go back and look at Osborne, he was 23-10-1 his first 5 years in league play, and Blinney's 29-11. Osborne took over a team that was coming off of two national championships, and he took over for Callahan.
Bring some sanity to the Doug and Daddy Show, weekdays at 11 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
With a mix of clouds and sunshine through the day today, we'll still see a few isolated showers and storms around the area with a high of 86 with east winds to 5 to 15. Tonight, we'll head back to a low of 64. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, it's 79.
Welcome back, Doug and Daddy Show, rolling on here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Randy Bushcutter in our Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth in Kearney. I'm at the Media Center here at the Omaha Country Club for the 34th annual United States Senior Open. Let's hear what some of the guys have to say right now.
Tom, as chairman of the championship committee, in your estimation, have you ever seen any golf course used for any USGA championship with hills this severe?
Well, you're going to test my memory, Jim, and my age as well. Probably not. But the elevation and topographical changes here, most of you have been on the golf course. If you haven't, Jim's reference is accurate. It's unique. That's the character of Omaha Country Club. That's what Perry Maxwell saw when he came to this golf course to design it in its infancy stage, and that's what the players will see this week. But it's a wonderful golf course, and it does have that very unique trait.
Over here to the left.
Tom, I'm Stu Pospisil at the Omaha World Herald.
Hi, Stu.
Hi. You've had a relaxed ban on electronic devices at the Women's Open the past couple years. How's that work, and do you see that expanding to a senior open in the future, or possibly a U.S. Open?
So, good question. We have relaxed it at the Women's Open. We are looking to technology in this area that will allow us to be able to present that at our senior open and U.S. Open championships that's not disruptive to the production of that championship. We said at the beginning of this, we were going to be followers in this path and not leaders, because frankly, those that have implemented it have seen some glitches. So we want to make sure that we have the bandwidth, we have the infrastructure built in. We're definitely moving to that direction because that's where our world is today, but we're not going to do it where we think it either disrupts the spectators' enjoyment, the players, or our ability to conduct or administer the championship.
Other questions? Okay, seeing none. Stu?
For both Jeff and Tim, what last-minute tinkering or any adjustments had to be made here?
Well, I'll let Jeff speak to the golf course. As I said, operationally, we've had, you know, a good crowds Monday, Tuesday, and the facility's working well. The tweaks, Stu, have been very minor. We moved back some rope lines where some spectators are getting hit, things like that, all very minor. But in essence, the plan that we have in place would pretty much follow.
Stu, the golf course is really coming along pretty well. I think the only adjustments we've had to make were just being a little bit more conservative in our preparations due to the weather. We're trying to be very responsible in our preparation. We haven't wavered in where we'd like to get, which just may take us a little bit longer to get there. The extreme heat Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, the rain Monday night have set us back a little bit. But we have communicated to the players, the caddies, that we have every intention and believe we will be able to provide a firm and fast golf course, but we'll have to do so weather permitting. And the weather has hampered us a little bit, but Eric and his staff have been working tirelessly to keep us moving in a very appropriate fashion here the last 3 days. And certainly today, we have every opportunity for some excellent drying conditions with a north wind and cooler temperatures, low humidity. So I think we'll see some real solid incremental improvement by this time tomorrow.
We have a question to the far left.
Kevin Haskin, Topeka Capital Journal. For any of you guys, and you sort of touched on this, can you address how the Midwest and courses in the Midwest have really played favorably in this tournament? Several of them have been used in recent.
Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show as we are live at the 34th Annual United States Senior Open. Always interested in some of those questions on the course, because the course is definitely the course in the heat. They are the story. Both were addressed right there.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how that course plays. To me, the hills are going to be a huge factor, because you can't necessarily control the ball depending on uphill lie. You can't really control the ball as well as you would like to, especially if you speed up the greens, which happens when you get a hot course, when it heats up through the course of the day. Those are a couple of conditions that it's very, very difficult to kind of manipulate. That it's going to make the course a little bit more challenging, and that's what makes the U.S. Open, whether it be the Senior Open or the regular Open, that's what the U.S. Opens are kind of known for, is playing on a pretty tough course.
Well, there's some folks from the Tri-Cities that are down here working on the course. Scott from Kearney is down here all week long. One of the superintendents there in Kearney that is taking care of the course down here. There's so many of them here volunteering basically their time to help make this event be the best that it can be. And talking and getting some reports this morning, they say that the greens are running at about an 11.5 on the stimp meter. They want to have them at a 12. That's part of what they're talking about with the heat and the mixture of the moisture rolling in. So those are a couple of the things that they have been talking about. And the rough. And the rough can only be controlled. You know, it grows as it grows, just like your yard does, your grass in your yard does. If it's hot and rainy, it's going to grow a little quicker, and if it's not, so they have to maintain exactly what they want there. So be very interesting to see how it plays tomorrow when things tee off at 7 a.m.
And that rough will continue to grow through the course of between now and Sunday. You know, so the course is going to get just a little bit tougher every single day, which is exactly what they like to do, to kind of, you know, that championship has to be won on the toughest course conditions that they can come up with.
Coming up, we're going to be talking 12 teams in 12 days, so stay with us. We'll be talking with Mark Snyder here in just a little bit, and a couple of other things out there. Some reports that we have been working on yesterday. Randy, the UNK Athletic Director search is ongoing. I think we talked about it on the show a week ago, and my sources tell me that there will probably not be a local or a UNK local tie at this time that is going to get that position. So sounds to me, as I kind of thought, as I was my opinion all along, is that they will be going, even if they somehow had a UNK tie in the past, they don't have a UNK tie right now.
Yeah, it does appear that they're going to go outside the university for that hire, and I think they've got the list down to about 7 or 8 names, and those names have not been released to us yet. We just kind of have an idea of who is not on the list, not necessarily who is on the list, and I just know some of the local candidates. I think they would be a pretty strong hire, and so if they move past that, that must be a pretty good list.
Yeah, it must be an awesome list. You would think, depending on how many of the locals were applying, maybe there's just one, maybe there's 10, who knows. But you would think one of them would be worthy of making it to the final stage. Just to get the ideas, maybe they've already done all that they want to do. But I thought that was a little bit surprising. And again, we don't have all the knowledge, and the folks at UNK aren't going to give us all the knowledge.
No, I think we might get a little bit of that information when the process is done. But it is, you know, during those ongoing hiring processes, they don't necessarily like to have a lot of conversation, like to reveal a lot of those facts until they kind of get done. But like I say, if the hire is and it appears that it's going to be somebody outside the university, that means that they got a pretty good list. If some of those names didn't make it onto that short list.
Well, let's talk more about that in a little bit, but right now it's day three of 12 teams in 12 days.
It's that time, 12 teams in 12 days, leading you up to Big Ten Media Days, July 24th and 25th in Chicago. We'll preview a different team each day. We'll head to the Legends Division for today's team.
Michigan.
The Wolverines.
It's time for 12 teams in 12 days now on the Doug and Daddy Show.
And Doug Duda along with Randy Bushcutter live from the 34th Annual United States Senior Open in Omaha. The folks up in the Detroit area got to have the Senior Open last year with Roger Chapman as the defending champion. But we'll talk more football today with Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press. Mark, thanks so much for the time. Always great catching up with you. How are things?
Things are great. You know, football's only a couple weeks away.
Well, of course, before we jump into this, because we always, you cover everything up there, what's it going to take for the Royals to catch Detroit? I mean, Detroit's had enough success. What's the feeling with the Tigers up there right now?
Well, except for, you know, before last night, things were great. They went 7-4 on a trip in three tough places in Tampa and Toronto, and then they went to Cleveland, and Cleveland's one that's on their tail, and they weren't able to. You know, Cleveland wasn't able to make up any ground, even being at home. But then last night, the White Sox, or, you know, maybe a cough above the Astros, came in and whooped them. 23 hits, Rios 6-6. I was there. It was kind of ugly. But, you know, it was one game. So if they come back to get the White Sox tonight, they're still comfortable.
Well, let's talk a little football here, jump into it. The Big Ten officially announced all the guys that are going to Media Days, which will be at in Chicago, start 2 weeks from today. But just your overall assessment right now, as we're early in July, Mark, of the Michigan Wolverines in Nebraska, the thought here is the whole season is going to come down to that November 9th game for Nebraska when they come to Ann Arbor.
Well, there's a lot of optimism in Ann Arbor for this team because I think the unknown is always the exciting part. And I think this is not a known – this team is not a known quantity because of Devin Gardner and how well he played in those last five games. People expect the offense to be potent, but the running back situation's in flux because Fitz Toussaint broke his leg against Iowa late in the year, and they say he's healthy. But even when he was healthy last year, he wasn't very productive. But they've running back in the country coming in, Derek Green. So, you know, you go back and forth. The defense is supposed to be great, and they should have a great pitch. Their secondary has some changes. Jordan Kovac's been there 3 years. He's gone. And Blake Countess is coming off an ACL, but he was good as first. A talent, but it's clear, you know, how that's going to work out.
Mark, Randy Bushcutter here. Nebraska has this game already kind of circled because they kind of see it as being that big game of the year within the conference. But I look at Michigan's schedule. Obviously, they point toward Ohio State. They got that in-state rival game with Michigan State. You guys have that traditional rival with Notre Dame. Is it possible that for Michigan, this is the fourth most important football game of the year, whereas for Nebraska, it's the biggest game of the year?
Well, can't speak from Nebraska side, but for Michigan, certainly. I mean, Michigan, think about it this way. They have two games back-to-back weeks. That works out a certain way. So, you know, yeah. And then, I mean, Ohio State is obviously number one, but this is the last year that, you know, it's not going to be a divisional game. And the Michigan State game is always, you know, tough, especially after Michigan State got them 4 years in a row. So there's a lot of games. I mean, even Northwestern, you know, that's going to be a tough place to win, and that's a game that they're going to have to get at Northwestern this year if they want to go to Indy. So I think all of these are going to be challenges, and Nebraska is just another one of those challenges. I think last year, though, they will have some motivation in this game because last year, you know, that was a missed opportunity that if they had maybe put Gardner in instead of Russell Bellamy and, you know, when Gardner got hurt, maybe they could have a game. And all they do is have to win that game, and then they would have gone to Indy.
Talking with Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press here on the Doug and Daddy Show, our 12 teams in 12 days, taking a look at the Michigan Wolverines. Once again, as you kind of touched on, the quarterback position, at least the starting quarterback, should be very strong.
Have they sorted out what they want to do at the running back position?
I think it's going to be kind of, you know, wait and see what happens. And this is where camp, you know, a lot of times it's just getting through camp. But camp's going to really be telling this year because Fitz Toussaint, as I said earlier, you know, he had the broken leg and he's coming back. And he didn't participate in contact in spring practice, so they don't know what he has. But he had a 1,000-yard season 2 years ago. And then you have Derek Green, this freshman, and they don't know, you know, how quickly will he adapt. Obviously, he's got the physical tools. 6'1", 220, he's pretty physical. He can run the ball. He can take a hit, but you don't know if he can block. I mean, that's a big thing, especially Michigan, you know, that with the running backs, is can he hold his own? Can he stay on the field, you know, on passing downs so they're not tipping what they're going to be playing? So I would expect the two of them to probably share carries early in the year, and then they'll sort itself out as to who's being more productive.
It does seem strange to us that you got Denard Robinson, who was talked about being a Heisman Trophy candidate, started 4 years. And probably you have an upgrade at the quarterback position with Devin Gardner. He completed almost 60% of his passes last year. Talk about some of the intangibles that you get with Gardner and how he compares a little bit differently than what Denard Robinson brought.
Well, first of all, Devin's 6'4", 215, and Denard was barely 6 foot. And Denard was fast, but you know he had to get a hole, and it had to be created for him, and then he could take off. And Denard was probably more injury-prone, too, because of his size and because he ran the ball so much. With Devin, he can run. He's really fast. He's got that long stride. And if you needed to, I mean, he's like the Terrell Pryor type where, you know, his legs are moving, but it doesn't seem like he's going as fast as he is. So he can do that. But I think that he knows that going to the NFL, you got to be a passing quarterback. And that he showed in those last five games, he can sling the ball. And that was with any preparation. He'd been a wide receiver for the first 8 games of last year, so he kind of walked in cold and still did what he did in those last 5 games. So I think that there's a lot of optimism for Gardner and that people think he could be one of the best quarterbacks in the country.
Mark Snyder, Detroit Free Press, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You probably have the best left tackle in all of the conference and one of the best maybe in the country, but offensive line maybe a little shaky last year. How does that look for your team this year?
Well, it's going to be interesting because they're replacing all of the middle three positions. They got Taylor Lewan on the left side, as you said, and he's a dominant tackle. Mike Schofield's a fifth-year senior, also on the right side. So the tackles are going to be strong. But in the middle, they're going to have their new guards and a new center. And maybe that's a good thing because last year, you know, there was a lot of pressure got that other teams could bring up the middle because it was weak players. There's more talent there this year with some guys. And this is an offensive line that, you know, those guys, and they built themselves up and they're shut up. See, I mean, it's a talent thing, but with an offensive line, it takes time to get cohesion. So how long is that going to take to get that middle where they're comfortable and protecting Gardner?
Mark, we lost a little bit of you there, but the signal's strong enough that we'll try to stay with it a little bit here. But talk a little bit about the defensive line for Michigan. Michigan, year in and year out, kind of known for their size, their strength, their bulk. But their defensive line, maybe a little bit suspect last year, as well as the linebacker position. How is that front seven or so going to be this year for Michigan?
I think it's going to be a lot better. I think there's a major leap that's going to take there. They realized that 22 sacks last year is just not acceptable. I mean, that is not a sign of a powerful defense, especially one that's led by Hoke, who's a defensive line guy, and Greg Madison, who also puts his focus on the defensive line. I think that they're going to have better edge rushers this year. Frank Clark is maybe one of the breakout players in the Big Ten at defensive end. And, you know, he's out of Cleveland, and he's in his third year, and he really has the potential to be a dominant force on the edge. And behind him, he's being pushed even by these guys, Mario Ojemudia, who will be a sophomore, and true freshman Taco Charlton, who all these guys really have the ability to be dominant pass rushers. So if Michigan can really pull it off, that'll be interesting. I think we'll have to see what happens in the middle. Quinton Washington is a pretty strong guy, and he got a lot of experience last year. But the other tackle position is kind of in question. I mean, Jabril Black had it last year, and we'll see, and he should have it again, but he wasn't the dominating force that really they need someone to stabilize the line. So we'll see, you know, what happens in the middle. But the edge rushers should really be impactful this year, and they should blow past that 22 sack total of last year.
Third year for Coach Brady Hoke. This is usually, many people believe, kind of that money year. You start settling in, but also that first recruiting class that Brady had when he came to Michigan that usually kind of shows in that third year. How do you think Brady is still being – is he still beloved by everybody, and is he ready to take that next step here in year three?
Oh, yeah, certainly. And, you know, I mean, obviously he went to a BCS bowl and won it his first year. Last year was a disappointment when they lost 5 games, and most of them in heartbreaking fashion near the end. But I think that, you know, Brady has so much credibility. People, just like in Nebraska, they understand now what they went through, and they understand what the bottom, relative bottom, feels like, and being an also-ran program. And that's what happened under Rich Rodriguez. And they understand that that's not where this program is. And Polk is assembling dominant recruiting classes. And if there's anything that gets the fan base excited, it's recruiting. It may not even be wins on the field or going championships. So I think that, you know, obviously Hoke's goal is to make it to the Big Ten title game and win it. And that's what he's stated goal every year. And until he does it, it's a disappointing season. But for now, you know, he's got a lot of credibility with these recruiting classes, and he's building up the depth of this team. And as he said, that's basically the key to having a dominant program, is to have depth and have talented depth.
Coach Hoke inherited Denard Robinson, and Robinson, as you mentioned, liked to run the football, and Gardner is going to be more of a prototypical pro-style quarterback, and that's the kind of game that Brady Hoke wants the coach, is it not? I mean, aren't we finally getting the offense that Brady Hoke truly wants to run for the entire season?
Yeah, definitely, because what they want to do is they want to control the ball. They always thought their defense was at a disadvantage in the spread game because sometimes, you know, they had to get off the field, the offense didn't stay on the field long enough, didn't have time-consuming drives, and that was part of the issue under Rodriguez, certainly with the defense, and Hoke's defense had to compensate for that, you know, on occasion. Now they're going to be able to physical, they're going to control the clock, and then when the defense gets out there, it's going to be able to be more impactful. I think that that's what he wants. You know, they want to run pro style because they want to play to their defense, and that's kind of what they're going to get the opportunity to do here with Gardner. And the question is, you know, even though Gardner has 2 years of eligibility, they want to know that they have some stability for the future. And if Gardner has a great year, he could leave because he's already graduated. He graduated in 3 years. So, you know, the idea of him staying for a fifth year, even though he has that eligibility, you know, that seems like maybe a long shot if he has a successful year.
Just a couple minutes left here with Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with our 12 teams in 12 days looking at Michigan. Mark, were there any off-the-field issues, whether it's injuries or suspensions or anything that is going to affect this football team going into fall camp?
Well, I don't think there's anything too dramatic and nothing off the field. In terms of injuries, the biggest in the spring, it was a little disappointing because their best defensive player, Jake Ryan, a linebacker, you know, he tore his ACL, but he's made a remarkable recovery, and Hoke has said a couple times he expects Ryan to be back by mid-October, which is miraculous. But, you know, that's kind of Jake's mentality. And he was their best defensive player statistically. He had an impact last year. And even when he comes back this year, you know, he'd be expected to be kind of pick up where he left off. And that'll really be a shot and a surge for this defense in the middle of the year to get a talented player back like that. In terms of the other injury, there was an ACL tear by backup quarterback Russell Bellamy. And Bellamy is a Nebraska fan. Had a rough go last year. And that was really that miserable half was about all he had the whole year. He had experience. He'd been through this before. And now what they have is they have a situation where they have a true freshman who's going to be the backup quarterback in Shane Morris. And he's very highly touted. You know, he's a great recruit. But you know how it is. I mean, you've seen it through with Taylor Martinez. You've seen it with some of these guys. As freshmen, it takes time to adjust to the speed of the game and to make decisions. So they prefer, you know, Morris can learn this year and be ready to take over after Gardner leaves. But for now, you know, he's going to have quite an adjustment, especially they need to keep Gardner healthy because throwing a true freshman into the fire early on or really at any point this year would really be devastating for them.
Well, obviously you don't want to lose your starting quarterback, but are there other areas that you kind of look at and you go, it's just kind of suspect and it might be kind of that tipping point whether or not Michigan's going to have the kind of season that they want to have? Is there one kind of unit in there that has probably the greatest concern for Wolverine fans?
Well, I think that the uncertainty at quarterback is definitely part of it. I mean, a backup quarterback, and then the uncertainty at running back. I think that that's really the biggest worry, is that you don't know how Fitz Toussaint is going to perform, and you don't know how this freshman Derek Green is going to be. If they can control the ball, They have a powerful running game. They're going to be a good team. Obviously, the secondary is always something people point to, and that's always going to be a focus. And they have Blake Countess coming back off of ACL. But in the Big Ten, you know, it's really not that big of an issue. I mean, Michigan, look, they were among the national leaders all year in pass defense, and that's just because they didn't play anyone. I mean, they, you know, the Big Ten passing offenses were like, you know, in the hundreds most of the year. So it's not an issue, but until you play a team that can really sling the ball, and that's what happened in the Outback Bowl, is that South Carolina just threw the ball all the way around, and Michigan was exposed as defensive backs. But I guess that's not really an issue in playing in the Big Ten, is it?
Well, and Mark, I guess Nebraska fans know what would be a great season, perfect season for them. If it goes like Michigan wants, we will, for the first time, see that instance that nobody wants to see, that it could be Michigan and Ohio State playing in back-to-back weeks. And I see that you've been asked that on a couple of your blogs, and boy, we're not even anywhere close to December, but Michigan, Ohio State could play back-to-back weeks. Just kind of your thoughts. Yay, that'd be great. But your thoughts on what would be better, 1-1, 2-0? I mean, just your thoughts on that.
Well, I think that, you know, when it was first proposed a couple of years ago when they're in different divisions, everyone kind of looked at it and said, you know, this could be ugly. Because it looked like it would be in perpetuity. You know, these were the divisions, how they were going to stay, and this could keep happening. Well, now that we know it's not going to happen, they're going to be in the same division starting next year. It might be cool for it to happen one time, 1 year. To play back-to-back weeks and kind of see what happens. Maybe not for those teams, and to actually see each other, and the coaches have to game plan a different, choose whether to hold stuff back or whatever for the more important game the following week. But at the same time, you know, I'd like to see it. I think that would be kind of a unique experience to see Michigan and Ohio State play back-to-back weeks for maybe the only time in history.
Mark, what do you think about the new divisions? And obviously, it's kind of nice to expand the conference from the Sand Hills of Nebraska all the way out to the East Coast, I guess. But what do you think about not just the expansion, but also the divisions and the fact that Ohio State and Michigan will be in the same division?
I think they had to do it that way. You know, geography was the way they should have done it in the first place. It's just natural. It protects most of the rivalries. You know, Indiana and Purdue, maybe not. But I think that, you know, everyone can... rest of us can kind of say, well, you know, they can figure that out themselves. But I think you have to do it that way. You know, in terms of travel, if you're ever going to trickle this down to the smaller sports in terms of travel, that would make it easier. There's just too many different elements that were, you know, lacking in the way when they tried to get cute and do it based on past performance or whatever they did. I think this is just the nature of it. It's cyclical, as we've seen in the SEC over time. And so now this is an opportunity, you know, for the Big Ten to kind of follow the norm. They don't always have to be different, and that's the thing. The Big Ten sometimes overthinks things. And, you know, they've had a lot of successes. I mean, the BTN has been more successful, obviously, than I've ever thought about. And they started this expansion thing, you know, going on in college football. But for the most part, you know, sometimes you just can't overthink things. And I think that, you know, going with the traditional path and returning to the traditional path will be a boon for the Big Ten football.
Mark Snyder, Detroit Free Press, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. It's always great to catch up with you to talk, whether it's Wolverines or the Lions or the Tigers. We'll let you go and get back to your work today. We appreciate the time. We'll chat again soon.
Yeah, we'll see you in Chicago.
Sounds good. We're going to be there, Mark.
Okay, sounds great. See you then.
See you there. 2 weeks away, folks. It is Big Ten Media Day. Starts today, 2 weeks from today, 2 weeks from tomorrow. Always a ton of interviews with the head coaches, media, and a ton of players. And as we said, Randy, those players, and I'll get to that in just a moment here, that are going to Big Ten Media Days. But we also like to look at that Michigan schedule. They went 8-5 last year, lost to South Carolina in the Outback Bowl in what was a great game, 33-28, and of course had the Sports Center play of the year for about the play of the day, at least until Jack Hoffman came along in the spring. But their non-conference schedule won't be quite as bad as last year when they had Alabama, Air Force, and Notre Dame. And remember, they only beat Air Force by 6 points, and then they played Massachusetts. This year, they'll host Central Michigan, Notre Dame, and Akron to start the season, and then somehow they go to Connecticut. That game must have been scheduled the 1 or 2 years that Connecticut was in the top 25 and Big East champion. But that is their non-conference, and they'll have a bye week. Then they'll host Minnesota, go to Penn State, host Indiana, have another bye week, and then the real Michigan season begins. At Michigan State, host Nebraska, at Northwestern, at Iowa, host Ohio State. Most of the big boys, I would have to say, all of the big boys probably, except the Michigan State game, is at home for Michigan this year.
And one of the reasons why a lot of people have picked Nebraska to win the division over Michigan is that tough schedule that Michigan has to play. But again, as you said, most of those tough games are going to be at home, with the exception of traveling at Michigan State. And Mark mentioned that they went 0-4 the last 4 years playing the Spartans. And that's obviously something that sticks in Brady Hoke's craw, because you have to beat your in-state rival. You have to beat that other conference rival of Ohio State. And to me, it is amazing that for Michigan, the Nebraska game might be fourth or even fifth most important game that they're going to play on the year. When you factor in Notre Dame, their rivalry with Michigan State, Ohio State, they have a long-standing rivalry with Penn State, even though Penn State has been down last year, probably should be a little bit better this year, and also playing at Happy Valley. You know, Michigan's got a pretty tough schedule there, but you know how good they are when Mark tells us one of the areas of concern is the backup quarterback. Not the quarterback, the backup quarterback. And if they can keep their quarterback, Devin Gardner, upright, he's going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal talent for Michigan.
And I think the Big Ten has a chance to send a message, whether they get made fun of nationally or not, I don't know. But Nebraska, Ohio State, and Michigan could all possibly be undefeated heading into the month of November. Nebraska has to get past UCLA. Michigan has to get past Notre Dame and the big game at Penn State. And Ohio State, Wisconsin at home on September the 28th. Those are the big games. All of those teams could be undefeated. Michigan's taken Devin Gardner, Taylor Lewan, the outstanding left tackle who could have went to the draft last year but came back, and then their safety, Thomas Gordon. For Michigan State, we had Max Bullock on, that outstanding linebacker. He's going to be there this year. We had Minnesota talk that yesterday. Rashid Hageman, one of their best players, he will be there. Nebraska is going to take Taylor Martinez, Ciante Evans, and Quincy Anunua are going to be the players that they take to Big Ten Media Day starting 2 weeks from today, and we will be there here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So looking forward to that. We need to take a break here. Randy is in our Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth in Kearney. I am at the Omaha Country Club for the 34th Annual United States Senior Open. We'll hear from Colin Montgomery and have a lot more on the show after this.
Driving to the grocery store. Sure, Goodyear tires can face it. Get some milk, maybe some carrots, and then drive back home.
But Goodyear is also the official tire of NASCAR. And everything we learn making tires for expert drivers inspires what we roll into yours. You don't just want milk and carrot tires, do you? Go to Goodyear.com and find out how to get up to a $160 rebate. Goodyear, more driven. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, Incorporated.
Hi, Tom Baudette. Motel 6 is always thinking of ways to make it easier to book a clean, comfortable room for a great low rate. And this is the first test of our reservation by telepathy system, commencing now. Now. Wait a minute. Now. Well, you can still call 1-800-4-MOTEL-6, book online at motel6.com, or with our cool new app on your tablet or smartphone. I'm Tom Baudette for Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on.
Round up your team for the annual Coors Miller four-person golf scramble, August 3rd and 4th at the Kearney Country Club. Your entry fee gets you golf on Saturday and Sunday, carts, steak dinner, Calcutta, complimentary drinks, and more. There's also a Friday night shootout and practice round available. Shotgun start on Saturday at 8 or 1:30, so register for your tee time today with the final Sunday at 10 a.m. It's the annual four-person Coors Miller golf scramble, Saturday, August 3rd, Sunday, August 4th at the Kearney Country Club.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. and we'll tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
With a mix of clouds and sunshine through the day today, we'll still see a few isolated showers and storms around the area with a high of 86 with east winds to 5 to 15. Tonight, we'll head back to a low of 64. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, it's 79.
And the Doug and Danny Show rolls on here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda along with Randy Bushcutter as we continue on talking 12 teams in 12 days. Tomorrow we'll be talking Michigan State football, and then we will slide in some Indiana Friday during what is going on with the hot dog contest. Again, folks, get signed up for the Doug and Daddy hot dog contest. We've got a good group already signed up. We don't want you to be left out. Friday, 11 o'clock, Hilltop Mall. Guarantee your spot at ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com on Friday. Last night was the Cornhusker League All-Star Baseball game in Grand Island. The East did beat the West. The West, of course, has Kearney, Hastings, Grand Island players on the team. Anthony Pacheco, 2-for-3 out of Kearney, had a home run and a double. Matt Karloff of Hastings had an RBI single to account for the runs in yesterday's game. Also yesterday, Lincoln Southeast beat Hastings Johnson Imperial Homes 8-1, and Kearney Little Caesars, no problem with Donovan Trumbull, by a score of 12-1. And Randy, I was talking with Brad Archer the other day, and we had him on last week before the Mike Peterson tournament. He's got a couple weeks. I mean, area tournaments are right around the corner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, wrapping up, some of the Legion teams that aren't playing the district action only have one or two, maybe three games left. I mean, it is all wrapping up. It'll be over with before you know it.
Omaha World Herald, Lincoln Journal Star, always when you're looking for articles this time of the year, they kind of announce their state coaches and athletes of the year, whether they're Division II or NAIA, and they named Hastings volleyball coach Matt Buttermore their women's coach of the year. And Rafion Stotts of UNK was named the Midlands College male athlete of the year after winning another national championship. So congratulations to those two. And senior offensive lineman Cole Penzik, one of 44 players named to the fall watch list for the Remington Trophy, which goes to the most outstanding center in college football, in line to be the starter after splitting time between guard and center last fall. So Cole Penzik is up for that award. And just to kind of tell you something, you look at the center position, Phil Steele all conference, and his name is not there.
That tells you how solid they are at certain positions.
So anybody that can be kind of named a sort of starter ends up on these lists, and they will go ahead and continue and continue and continue. So there you go. Colin Montgomery going to join us here in just a moment on the Doug and Daddy Show. His thoughts about what's going on. We talked a little bit of just mentioning football, another story here, which got a lot of play this morning on a couple of the area talk shows here in the Omaha and Lincoln area, and anything, something happens with recruiting. And I did have to chuckle because I was listening to Sharp and Benning here in Omaha, and they kind of have, of course, Damon Benning being the former Husker and the Orange Bowl MVP. It's kind of funny to hear what they say from time to time. I heard Sean Callahan on Sports Nightly last night. Of course, don't forget, tomorrow night there'll be a Bullseye in Hastings. They're in McCook tonight, but Bullseye's in Hastings tomorrow. And TV Williams, who a month ago we kind of thought, and I know Sean Callahan thought, would be coming to Nebraska, but chose Kentucky to continue to pursue and make that Kentucky class even bigger and better with their new coaching staff.
And he did so by having the hats all picked out there and then putting it on to make his announcement. And I don't know where he buys his hats, but he needs to find a new hat dealer. I'm just saying that the big ugly blue with the cats across the top, not a good look. So, and again, it is surprising to me how well Kentucky has done. Yes, they're the SEC, but they're not one of those SEC football powers that you think of. They've done a pretty good job here this season in terms of getting some pretty top-notch recruits.
And a lot of the talk was is that Lorenzo Stewart, who committed to Nebraska last week, was pretty much in the same mold as TV Williams, short, quick, and you don't know what the coaches tell these kids. They said, well, we're looking for one guy. We got our guy. And maybe that's why Williams isn't coming to Nebraska. Maybe he knows, well, there's two or three of us there now. I'm going to go somewhere where I don't have to really compete for a starting job. I've got a pretty good shot at it. And interesting take with Nebraska, speed, speed, speed. And really right now, some of these guys are little guys with a lot of speed.
Well, I think that's just kind of where football is kind of going. I mean, we kind of saw it. Nebraska fell behind in the 1980s because they didn't have the speed necessary when they made that transition to a more of a speed style, and they get going. But that fits in with how, you know, teams don't huddle and they try to get as many offensive plays as they can. More and more schools are going to that. But first, you got to have the personnel before you can kind of run it. So I think you're going to see more and more universities do the same sorts of things that Oregon is really kind of famous for. And even a school like UNK has been doing. I can't remember the last time I saw the Lopers ever huddle. I mean, it's been 15, 20 years. They don't necessarily play the same up-tempo as some of these other programs. But you're seeing more and more up-tempo. And if you're going to be up-tempo, you got to have some guys that aren't carrying a lot of extra weight with them. You have to go with that speed.
And according to the Lincoln Journal star, Harrison Phillips will make his college choice on Monday. He has six remaining schools. He contacted the Journal star just to kind of answer their questions. Received the offer from Nebraska a couple of weeks ago. Nebraska, Stanford, UCLA, Kansas State, Duke, and Northern Illinois. That's quite a potpourri of schools for Harrison Phillips out of Millard to make his selection, Millard West, for Phillips. And just, again, listening to Sean Callahan on Husker Sports Nightly last night, pretty interesting. They say that he is an incredibly smart kid, had plenty of offers from Ivy League schools. And so Stanford, obviously, you get a scholarship offer from Stanford. That seems to be the main competition for Nebraska right now, because he hasn't necessarily made an on-campus visit to some of these other schools. So that's the next big name we expect to make a decision regarding Nebraska or not Nebraska, Harrison Phillips.
And all of those have their selling points. You kind of mentioned Stanford being obviously a top-notch program, plus one of the best academic schools in the country. I bet he could play at Duke here pretty quickly. And Duke has been getting better in football the last few years, and they're one of the top academic schools in the country as well, outside of the Ivy League, of course. They're on a very, very short list. So if you're looking for those academics in that long term, if you're thinking that your future that you're going to make, but your career is going to be a whole lot longer as a business person or whatever he wants to study, your career is going to be a whole lot longer than your football career. Your resume starts with your college degree, and having it say you graduated from Duke or Stanford, that's a pretty good start. So that's a lot of appeal for a young man with a pretty high IQ.
Well, a lot of cool stuff to talk about, so we'll see how that all pans out. Folks, are getting a lunchtime here. Don't forget the Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island is the place to be with daily lunch specials Monday through Sunday. That's right. They've even got lunch specials Saturday and Sunday for you, because we know you're hungry 7 days a week. There's not a bad seat in the house. Catch the air conditioning. Catch your favorite events, whether it's Major League Baseball, whether it will be the U.S. Senior Open coming up over the next 4 days, PGA Tour, whatever it may be. Your favorite sports are right there on all of their great HD TVs. Play some Keno. Have your favorite beverage. Enjoy happy hour Monday through Friday afternoon. Don't forget, right now, try their tangy Southwest chicken wrap. Hot days got you thinking of something light? Then get into the Chicken Coop for one of their wraps. The Southwest chicken wrap is diced grilled chicken tossed in your choice of wing sauce with shredded lettuce, cheddar jack cheese, and freshly made pico de gallo wrapped in a flour tortilla and served up with your choice of side. How about the steak wrap? The Southwest steak wrap, slice aged seasoned flat iron steak with shredded lettuce, cheddar jack cheese, and freshly made pico de gallo in a flour tortilla, again, served with your choice of side. It is so, so good at the Chicken Coop. And don't forget, Randy, it's Wednesday, and that means big burger night. Chicken Coop, get any burger off the menu for just $5 with fries from 5 to 10. Can't go wrong, can you?
No, absolutely not. You get a great supper for a lunch price, and you just spin the menu around, pick one, and you got a pretty good burger.
We're back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.